Hey, everybody, it's Sarah Clark, Friday, November 10th. We're going to talk a little luxury from Alpha Brands in our continuing series of reviewing the holdings that we have and talking about the thematic of consumer spending. Luxury spending is a big component of the thematic, obviously. Luxury spending tends to be a little more recession resistant than other categories, because when you have a lot of money, you don't really worry too much about the economy as much as the average consumer. So I want to talk about LVMH, Louis Vuitton, and L'Oreal. We own both of those stocks. We did own Hermès, so I'll talk a little bit about Hermès. I'd love to get that one a little bit lower because they're still executing pretty well. It's just a really super expensive stock selling super expensive products. So shocker. But looking at LVMH, in October of 08, you know, from when we can track the stock, the performance of the stock's up about 1,310% versus 590% or so in the S&P. And this is obviously a non-US company that sells globally. So in its own market versus the ACWI, XUS index, that was up 203%. So you're talking about like a 6.5 times better return than in the all country world index, and a little over 2 times better return than the S&P 500, which is pretty impressive considering international stocks in general have pretty handily underperformed US stocks in the S&P. So this is one of those, you know, special circumstances where an international stock handily outperformed even the best stock market. So, you know, $368 billion in market cap, dividends about 1.7%, tends to grow every year, you know, low to high single digits, $89 billion in revenues. Bernard Arnault, who's the founder and the architect of this brand, putting all these wonderful brands, house of brands together, is one of the wealthiest men in the world. So certainly LVMH is the largest luxury goods provider in the world, which makes it a mega brand in the category. So if you're going to decide to own the category, you should probably consider at least first owning the mega brand, the dominant brand in that category. So everything from a category perspective, fashion, leather goods, watches, jewelry, wine, spirits. There's, you know, Sephora is a big brand that they own, which is a high-end cosmetics and fragrances brand store that's in the US and around the world. So they own brands like Louis Vuitton, obviously, Bulgari, Fendi, Givenchy, Tag Heuer watches, Tiffany. They purchased not that long ago, Hennessy, Moet, Chandon, Veuve on the champagne. So, you know, these guys love to buy scarce assets that are important in luxury spending and put them into the distribution network and really get that flywheel spinning. So, you know, just for some perspective, in 2014, the company was doing about $30 billion in revenue. The trailing 12 months here is about $86 billion, on its way to over $100 billion within, you know, kind of by 2025. And, you know, part of that is there's a major demographic tailwind. The 2/3 of the sales in all of these luxury brands come from younger consumers that are very aspirational purchasers. And, you know, you have about 2 billion global millennials. You have about 2.5 billion global Gen Z. So, and in the middle of the largest wealth transfer in human history. So as the baby boomers kind of die off, sorry, mom, and those assets start trickling down to Gen X and millennials, and eventually the kids in Gen Z, their love of global brands and aspirational luxury brands and products is going to translate into better revenue over time. And they already have pretty good margins. So this is a really interesting business. Now, footnote, they, in COVID, there was a pretty big pull forward in revenue. So we certainly weren't surprised by seeing some slowdown just from coming off of, you know, super high comps year over year and over the 3-year stack. And we've seen the consumer, particularly in the US, the North American consumer, slow down some of their spending, even on the luxury side. And that certainly could continue. But, you know, the stock was at a high of 200. It's down to 147. So it's already $50 off of that, or 23% or so off of the highs. This kind of up channel about at 140, the stock's at 147. So it's probably more interesting to buy down here. And we've recently added to it down here than, you know, being up at the top. So we love the brand. We love the category. Long tailwinds for luxury spending in general because of good demographics. And you're getting the stock that's 23% off the highs, which I love. You know, obviously China and Asia is still a big part of the business. And you know, candidly, the China has been a bit of a slowdown. And I think, you know, you're seeing a bit of a trough in China's economy. I think they're starting to stimulate again because they need to. The president there has really put the economy in a hurt locker. So we do see a resurgence in some of the Chinese luxury consumer spending for LVMH products. And Asia overall is still performing pretty well, and I think should continue to accelerate over the next couple of quarters. You know, the stock's pretty cheap relative to where it generally is, about 24 times. It's got a 4.5% free cash flow yield. So I really like this one. You know, when you compare it to Hermès, again, we've owned Hermès in the past. We don't anymore. The stock just got really expensive, and we kind of chose to cluster into LVMH because it's a lot cheaper and more broad. But, you know, Hermès, the premier ultra luxury goods product maker, 180 year old family controlled business, you know, kind of famous for the Birkin and Kelly bags. You know, leather and saddlery is about 50% of revenues, clothes and accessories about 25%, perfumes, jewelry, home furnishings, apparel, et cetera, about 300 stores globally. But here's the thing, the $207 billion market cap for Hermes, $368 billion for LVMH. So they're kind of in the same neighborhood, right? Hermes has $13.5 billion in revenue, LVMH, $89 billion. So Hermes is a much more expensive stock because they are strictly focused on the highest of high ends across all of their categories, you know, 42% operating margins versus 26% on LVMH. Both have amazing gross margins, 71 and 68 respectively. So crazy high gross margins, but there really is some, you're paying up in Hermes for some pretty killer scarcity value across, you know, doing what they do. And Hermes has been a monster performer as well. Since 09, the stock's up almost 300% versus 96% for the S&P. Similar returns as LVMH, slightly a little bit better, but definitely better than the S&P, again, at a time when international stocks generally underperformed. So love the luxury category. I would love to buy Hermes. I'd love to buy Ferrari. You know, we got out of that one and looked pretty smart. And then the last quarter, it ripped back up towards highs. So I won't chase it, but I'd certainly love to buy some Ferrari as well on a dip. So the next one, I could have put the next luxury brand or vanity brand in my Steady Eddie discussion with Visa and Costco, but it just felt wrong to put L'Oreal in the same category and video as Costco. You know, L'Oreal founded in 1909. So it's been around a long time. Brands like Maybelline and Yves Saint Laurent, Kiehl's. I'm a big fan of the Kiehl's men's product lineup, Garnier and Armani. But, you know, This is an interesting one because it actually, it's the largest luxury vanity brand, cosmetics, fragrances brand in the world, but it was actually a pretty big laggard behind Estee Lauder for a longer period of time. And then as Estee Lauder kind of lost its way, L'Oreal has really taken a bunch of market share. So, you know, $41 billion in revenues dwarfs Estee Lauder. And they have just executed flawlessly at a time when Estee has just done terribly. So, you know, they have skincare, makeup, hair care, fragrances, like I said, taking market share away, the dominant brand locally, definitely a good, steady, Eddie, stable, you know, compounder over time. Definitely, you know, it's nice to have some staples exposure that has good pricing power in it at a time when inflation is, you know, probably still going to continue to stay higher for longer. So you're certainly paying up for the stability and the predictability of earnings as you do for most staples. But again, they have strong pricing power. I love it because they're doing really well in emerging markets, Latin America, and particularly India. They're expanding pretty well. So, you know, as the world starts to offshore out of China and into Latin America and Mexico and India, the consumers will be making more money and then spending more money on vanity products, certainly, and other things. So I'm looking forward to seeing and hearing what they have to say on their analyst days, November 16th and 17th. But Europe and North America is about 60% of sales, consumer products, 37% of sales. Their luxury categories, 38% of sales, but they do have some strong estimate EPS revisions, and they are stable, predictable, and not a bad kind of, you know, barbell with your higher growth, maybe more higher earnings and stock volatility with something that's a lot more stable. So lastly, I'll just end, I'm just going to pull up the chart real quick. You know, this one is kind of, you know, a wide, if you look at a big chart, this thing looks like it's forming a pretty bullish major inverse head and shoulders. It needs to break 97 or so. It's about 89. So there's a little bit more ways to go. It's had a nice pullback from 97 to 82, and then has since rallied pretty aggressively to 89. So I really like the stock. I think it's right for this kind of environment. And they seem to be continuously taking share. I'd love to maybe get back into Estee Lauder, but man, they are just executing terribly. And they need to replace their CEO and some of the management team. That one's, you know, probably it looks pretty expensive on the surface. If they can reaccelerate growth, then it won't look nearly as expensive. But for now, it's LVMH and L'Oreal and the luxury goods. Love to buy Hermes on a pullback, love to buy Ferrari on a pullback, but the vertical of aspirational luxury spending is not going away, and it tends to be pretty recession resistant if we do get a slowdown, and if they do pull back, I'm happy to buy more. Thanks a lot, everybody.